Good morning. What a great day to be alive. What a great day to be here. The sun is out. Madison won. DSU won. The Cowboys are going to win. It's going to be a great day. We're hoping. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, right? Well, before we get started today, I wanted to read something to you as we've been we're in our new series called Making Change. And this out of Isaiah chapter 55. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. That someday that's going to happen. And let the wicked forsake their ways and their unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. I think some of you, I don't know who, somebody needs to hear that word today. And as, of course, we're in a financial series, there's a lot of different ways that that can touch a lot of different people. And if you joined us last week, I want to ask you, how's it going? We asked you, what was that? Good? Actually got you to talk to me. That's awesome. But as we talked, less is more last week, if you were with us, and getting rid of stuff that we don't need that causes stress. The 4 weeks of this Making Change series is less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. All right, say that with me if you would. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. Well, today we're going to talk about stress is bad. Stress is bad in the area of your finances. And then next week we're going to talk about giving, and giving is good. And it's one of the things that God not only wants us to do, but it's a good thing to do. And then we'll finish it up with tomorrow matters. It's also biblical that you look beyond your own life, that tomorrow does matter. And what kind of a legacy are you going to leave for your family after you are gone from this place? That's just a piece of that as well. But for today, financial stress. We're going to talk about debt. Woo! Said no one ever. I don't know about you, but I don't know anyone that goes around talking like this and says, you know, ever since I got into debt, my marriage has been better. Or, you know, the massively high interest rates that they charge you on credit cards. Ooh, that has helped my love life. High rates, high love. Or how about this one? Every night I thank God for debt. I used to be debt-free, but now I'm over my head, and I thank God for that. Yeah, I don't think that that's any of you in this room, but instead I think people are probably more likely to say this. You know, I'd love to give more. I really wish that I could help this person, but, you know, I can't. I wish I could that we could travel. Maybe that's what I wish we could travel. My wife and I talked about this, and boy, do we wish we could travel, but one of us would have to stay home with the kids because we don't have the money to travel, right? That's probably more like our conversations, or you know what? I'm just tired of being tight financially and fighting about it every time it comes up. You know, that time of the month. No, not that one. The one where the bills come due, and it gets stressful. And it gets hard, and arguments happen. Financial stress is bad. It's not what helps us grow in our faith. It's not what helps us grow in our Christian walks. It stresses us out, and it eats us away from the inside out. I knew back in the day there was a gentleman that bought a truck. And he bought a highfalutin truck. He had a job that paid less than probably $40,000 a year, and he bought this $48,000 truck. And I said, how are you going to do this? He says, it's okay. He says, I'm just paying a monthly payment. Okay, well, how long are you paying payments for? 72 months. Okay, what interest rate did you get on that? 19%. That by the time this guy was done paying for a $49,000 truck, he was going to be paying over $81,000. So that he could drive this truck that when he got done paying for it was going to be worth 10, 12 grand at best. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. That's right out of the Bible, right out of the wisdom chapter of Proverbs. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. Those are true words, not just because they come from God's word, but those are true words that we see each and every day. We live those words each and every day, and oftentimes what happens is that we think we're in too deep. That wherever we've taken ourselves financially, man, I'm just in too deep. And if you're like every other person that I've met, that it becomes personal, and we get embarrassed sometimes. And today, I don't want us to be embarrassed today. But what I want us to do is I want us to take a good, sober look at what God is doing in our lives and where we are really at, to take a real look as to where we're at. We find that we're helpless and we're hopeless sometimes, and I get that. You know, we don't understand finances like we should. We make decisions before we found out all that we needed to make, and we get over our heads. It becomes overwhelming, and you know what? I've talked with people. I just don't want to think about it. The only way that I can not stress over it is to not think about it, and we take that financial can and we kick it down the road, thinking, yeah, if I just keep kicking it down, if I don't deal with it now, and I just keep kicking it down the road, then it's just gonna go away. I'm with you. I wish that's how it worked, but that's not how it works. And as your pastor, I'm asking you, I'm going to challenge you a little bit, but I'm begging you to take this seriously, to take the area of your finances seriously. And you think that there is no hope, but I believe that there is. I believe that there's hope, and I think today can be the first step of doing the next right thing in your life and taking the first step back. Because I want you to imagine for just a moment, what would it be like to be completely rid of financial stress? Think about that for just a moment. What areas of your life would that affect if you got rid of all of the financial stress in your life? Think about it. The next time you go to buy something and you just pay cash for it. That there's someone in need that comes across your path and you can help them out, no problem. That you're driving along in your car, in your van, in your truck, whatever it is, and something goes out or your brakes go out or something, and you just drive to the mechanic and have them fixed and you pay for it. Or that you find yourself and you have a week off and your thoughts come to what you have to decide is mountains or beach. What would that be like? What would that piece of life be like for you? And if this practical side of finances doesn't motivate you, then think of the spiritual implications. Think of the spiritual side of finances. You see that even in the Bible it says, whoever is faithful with a little, God will entrust much. And we need to wisely manage the resources that God has given to us, because that is truly what is pleasing to God. We're going to talk about that a little more next week, but it pleases God because of all that He has given to us. All that He asks of us is just to return a portion of it, a tithe, back to Him. Not because He needs it, but to show our faithfulness in everything that God has done for us. In today, to take the reality that each breath that we take, that each heartbeat that we have is because of the grace of God. And that He allows us to do that. I don't know, maybe that's about all that it takes for me to say thank you, God. And then I could build on it from there of thanking God for my family and I thank God for all of you that I get to be with you. And I thank God for the things that we get to do. And it all comes back and most every facet of our life is touched by money in some way. Whoever is faithful with a little, God will trust with much. My hope is that you want something different. That's what I want you to get. I want you to have hope, but I want you to hope for something different, and I want you to hope for something better. And so in order to do that today, we're going to talk about three things. I want to give you three prayers that we can pray to help get ourselves out of debt. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about today. The first one is this. Excuse me. God, give me self-control. That's a biggie right there. Okay. Because if we had self-control, we probably wouldn't even have this conversation. But we're all in this together. I do not want anyone to feel like I'm singling them out and that they're by themselves, because we're all in this together. God, would you please give me self-control? And in Proverbs 25:28, it says this, like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. Now, we get this straight out of the Bible, but we don't necessarily need to have it come out of the Bible, because it's just true to us and how we live today. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. Why would God put that in the Bible? Because as we read, especially through the Old Testament, in all of the cities, in all of the fortified cities that are there, the walls are what keep us safe. Our financial walls are what keep us safe from the enemy. And there's time after time after time, stories in through the Bible, where God talks about the importance of keeping your walls built and watching out for the enemy to come to break down your walls. Because like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. God, would you please give me self-control? Now, part of this is to do with that we all have this two-year-old. Who's been around two-year-olds, right? Right? Who's been around a two-year-old in a grocery store? Okay, right, right. Who's been with a two-year-old in a grocery store in the cereal aisle? That is just suicidal to do that. But if you've been around that, what do you hear? I want that. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want that. I must have that. If I don't get the prize in the Cocoa Puffs, I'm going to die, right? And I only said that last week, all right? So I don't say that every time. But Joan won't take me shopping with her anymore. But we all have that two-year-old inside of us, do we not? Now, it may not be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. It may be going through the gun store. It may be going through Target or Lewis Drug or Macy's or this Ford dealer or... But you all have a place that your two-year-old comes out, that I must have it, and I must have it now. Kind of makes me think of the Lord of the Rings, that I must have my precious. All right, are you with me? You see where this is coming? This is where we're going to go. We all have this little kid in us. I must have it now. Ladies, I'm going to talk about you for a little bit, because you will nickel and dime us to death. You know, too much junk, okay? Just too much junk. You've never met a clearance rack you didn't like, okay? You need to have that bracelet and the trinkets for the friends and for all of this stuff. And then once you have that, you got to have the right dress and the proper shoes, right? Right? Now, don't worry, guys. I'm going to get to you in a second. But gals, that's what happens, I think, time after time. Now, guys, I'm going to stand up proud as a guy that, guys, we do not nickel and dime our wives to death. That's do. We just blow the whole thing up in one fell swoop. That's what we do. We just break the bank, one stroke. Honey, I bought a new duck boat, and I had to get the dogs to match and the shotguns that I need to do it. No, of course, you know, we got to stay out hunting, so I bought a camper and a truck, right? Welcome home, baby. We just break it down in one fell swoop. But we all get into those situations in our lives where we do something and we don't always count the costs first, and it gets us into debt. But cry out to God, God, please give me self-control. How do you do that? If you are bleeding money, how do you get out of debt? The first thing you have to do is go on a spending freeze. For those of you in the medical community, my daughter has started nursing school, and it's so fun to hear about all the things I'm doing wrong. But in medical school, they teach you one thing. The first thing they teach you is no matter what, the bleeding will stop. You'll either be dead or you'll stop the bleeding and get back to health, right? The same thing happens with our finances. You're either going to stop the bleeding of your finances so that you can get back to health, or it's going to go down so bad that it's just everything is going to die. The same thing happens. What you have to do is go on a spending freeze. The first and easiest way you can do this is when that sweet little tot rings the doorbell and says, I have candy to sell. You say, no. No magazines, no popcorn, no wrapping paper, thin mints. Okay. But nothing. We have to go on a spending freeze. Okay, those of you that were with us, we had that Smart Money simulcast on Tuesday night, and it was a great turnout, and a lot of you were there, and a lot of from the community that were there. We had the coffee shop was full. It was a great evening, and the vision of that evening, and the vision that I want to help give to you is getting out of debt and to say no for just a little while so that you can say yes for the rest of your lives. Some of you heard that, right? But for right now, can you have enough self-control to say no for just a little while so that as you think towards the later years in your life that you can say yes to those things? Like I talked about before, about going on vacation or your hardest decision is to decide whether to go to the mountains or the beach. That can be you if you're willing to say no for just a little while and to get out of debt. Ladies, I'm going to get back to you again. Nails once a week. Some of you do that. Some maybe that's not you. I don't get it. I don't. Who looks at them? Who cares? Has your husband or your boyfriend ever said, "Ooh, those are nice"? I don't know. Maybe they have. Maybe they haven't. I think they're thinking, "Man, are those real or are those fake or what's going on there?" But they don't care about your nails, guys. Do you really have to golf twice a week? I'm pushing buttons here. Yes. Maybe to say no for a little while, it's twice a month instead of twice a week now, so that in the later years when you're retired and your wife wants to get you out of the house, then you can go golf every day, right? Yes. Let's hear that feminine yes. $5 cup of coffee. Maybe that's not where it's supposed to be. Maybe it's buying a little cheaper coffee and brewing it at home for just a little while so that later on you can have a latte a day or whatever you want. Parents, does a 12-year-old really need an iPhone? No. I'm sure we could get some debate going in this room, but we've got to be, you know, mean to our kids sometimes, don't we, parents? That maybe that free flip phone is enough for a kid and not the iPhone. I'm not scoring any points with the students in the room today. But one day... Boy, that didn't sound like my son at all. Maybe he's got to pay me for a buck now. I don't know, but brand new car. Who needs a brand new car when it depreciates 20% just when you drive it off the lot? Okay, say no for a little while so you can say yes later on. We listened to this crazy man talk about this, Dave Ramsey, and he says say no for a little while, but always tithe and always think way above where you're at. And shoot for those, and hope for those, and work towards those areas. It may be crazy, but maybe husbands and wives, maybe you don't buy gifts for each other for birthdays and Christmas for a little while. Maybe that would save. Maybe you start doing some handmade stuff for each other or for families. Maybe they'll understand what happens there. I don't know. I do have to admit this. I love the stuff that my kids have made me through the years. A lot more than some of the other stuff that they bought me, like a fire extinguisher for my grill. That was really cool. I'm not going to tell you why they bought it for me. It was a practical gift. But maybe we need to start thinking outside the box on some of these things. God, give me self-control. For once we have some self-control and we get out of debt, you can buy whatever you want. Ladies, when you're out of debt, then you can buy the whole office a set of nails every week and you can celebrate it together. Guys, you can buy that truck or whatever it is once you get out of debt and you have the money to deal with it. Say no for a little while so you can say yes for the rest of your life. God, give me, let's say that together. God, give me self-control. And now let's say it like you really mean it, okay? God, give me self-control. The next thing is, God, give me some understanding. Some of us are just dumb when it comes to finances, right? We just don't know. We're not dumb on purpose. We just haven't learned. We haven't hung out with Floyd enough at the bank to know how to handle this stuff. We're just, you know, in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Remember the guy with the truck? How much down? How much a month? How many months? What's the real cost of this thing? Do you sit down and figure that out, or does the two-year-old beat you to the cash register? I've got to have it now. You see, in America, we talked about this last week, that the average debt in America, credit card debt, is $12,000. That's the average. That means half or more, half or less. 12 grand on a credit card, which is probably the worst place to have debt on the whole planet. But if you paid, let's just say you paid $250 a month on a $16,000 credit card bill at 19% interest, and it took you 40 years to pay that off, you will have paid $105,000 in interest on 16 grand. Is it worth it? If you invest that same $16,000 and you get a market average of 12% over 40 years, you will have just under $1.5 million if you just put in 16 grand and let it cook. If you invested 16 grand and added that $250 a month over 12% over the 40 years, you will amass over $4 million. Who would want to retire with over $4 million? That's me. Do we have the self-control to say no for just a little while? And do we have the knowledge to get out of debt and to invest a little bit? God, give me self-control and give me some understanding. Then the third thing we need to have is, God, please give me a plan. Because left to my own devices, it gets a little goofy, right? Maybe some of you guys are saying out that with me. Some of you guys are the spenders. Some of you gals are the spenders. You figure that you know who's who. But in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Maybe that hits you today. Are you being diligent and leading to profit, or hasty and leading to poverty? What is haste? You know, that point when you feel bad about something and you go shopping. You know, my wife calls it retail therapy. She doesn't, but she's not here, so she won't know the difference. How many guys go out at retail therapy at Scheels or Cabela's? For me, it was in the early years of my marriage. And before I got married, in the early years of my marriage, working in construction, there are days when it rains and you can't work outside. And there are days in the wintertime where it's too cold and you can't get what you need done. And so you have time off. And idle hands are the devil's tools, right? And so I grew up in the area of arcades and pinball machines, and I was a pinball wizard. I was good. I could take $5, go to the arcade, 2-3 hours easy, make that last out. Man, I was good at the machines. But the only problem that was is the arcade was in the mall, and I like to walk around the mall and just look. No harm, no foul, right? Most of you ladies can agree with that, right? Oh, I lost them a long time ago. Okay. But I like to go look around, and, you know, there was usually just a rack here or a rack there, and oh, this shirt, it's kind of nice, and it's on sale, and it's not much at all. And so I'd buy that shirt. And then the next week would happen, and oh, I'd buy another shirt, and the next week would happen, and I'd buy another shirt, and finally you get conked on the head and going, dude, not only are you not bringing any money in, but you're spending money. And so I had to listen to my own words today, back then, and to stop it, to stop the bleeding. Again, if you were with us Tuesday night, you heard Dave Ramsey say that you can wander into debt. And that's what I did. I just wandered around the mall, and you can wander into debt, and you've done it too, because you wander past this thing, and oh, it's not much, and I can do this, and oh, it's not much, and I can do that, and you've wandered yourself clear into debt. But you will never wander yourself out of debt, just into debt and just deeper into debt. Without self-control and without controlling your spending, that's where you're headed. And we have a plan. We have Financial Peace University that we want to offer up to help you, because we believe here at Living Hope Church to let no one do life alone. And so we want to help you not do life alone with your own finances. If you want to, you can sign up for Financial Peace University. Starts January 11th, okay? That way we can get through the holidays, get good and broke, and then now we're ready to deal with our finances. But January 11th, we're going to start that 9-week process of getting healthy with our finances, of getting self-control, of learning about finances, and getting a plan together so that we can live life truly the way that God wants us to live it. And that is to be in control of our finances so that we can live in community with others and not have to think about one area of our life too much. Sign up for Financial Peace University. The process that he's going to take you through is that the first thing he wants you to do is get an emergency fund. Get $1,000 set aside so that when something happens, that you have an emergency fund. And then start the debt snowball. Start with your debts that you have, and from largest down to smallest, and pay the minimums on everything, but get aggressive on that smallest one, pay it off, and then take that money and add it to this payment and pay that off, and take that money to this money and add and pay that off, and that snowball starts to accumulate and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's amazing what can happen that when you stop the bleeding financially and you start to roll the snowball up, how fast it will catch you. Have a reserve set aside. Start to save some money as well. And then once you're out of debt, invest. Invest money so that it can cook and be used for you for later on in life. That's that whole say no today so that you can say yes tomorrow. Okay? This reminds me of a couple. Of Keith and Karen are their names. I don't know them personally, but I want to tell you their story. Because Keith is a school teacher and he loves to teach school. He loves to teach school. He would like to do nothing more than to teach school. But as a lot of you know, school teachers don't get paid a ton. But that's where he felt God was leading him. And he loved doing it. And they made under $40,000 a year. And Keith and Karen loved each other, and they wanted to have a family together. But they couldn't get pregnant, and so they adopted a child. They adopted a son. And a little while later, they adopted another son. And as you know, or may have known personally, but adoption is not only painstaking, but it's expensive to adopt. And I kid you not, I think this is in just about every adoption story that I know, especially of a couple that cannot conceive and have kids. They adopt these two boys, and then what happened? She got pregnant. That's exactly right. So now they're sitting with three children at home on a teacher's salary. And Karen's taking care of the kids, and but you know what they did? Keith did a little bit of made a little income doing taxes on the side, and had a little bit to do with an eBay business that could generate a little extra. He put in the extra effort to gain a little extra there. He stayed out of consumer debt, and they paid off everything, including their mortgage. Now, they didn't drive fancy cars, and they didn't stay in a big fancy house. It was a rather modest house by all of our standards. But it was paid for. And they were able to put money away, even though they didn't make much money, and even though the expense of adoption was there. They even adopted a fourth child. And Keith gets to stay and to teach and to do what he loves best, because that's exactly what God created him to do. And he followed it with all of his passion and all of his heart. And because he kept control of his finances, he was able to do that. They were able to tithe as God asked them to do. They were able to support ministries as God led upon their hearts to support ministries, just like we have with Mexico, Guatemala, and Nepal. I am happy to tell you, I maybe shouldn't be telling you this, but through your generosity, all five motorcycles are going to Nepal. That is. And we've started with the Guatemala stuff, getting that down the road. But it's amazing what God's people can do when they pay attention to what God is directing them to do, just like Keith and Karen were doing. I'm going to call the band up at this time. We're going to sing a couple of songs as we finish, and the first one is Always, because I want you to know that no matter what, God is with you always. Even through the dark times, even through when you have to shut the financial bleeding off, and it is so uncomfortable because you have to downsize or because you have to live where you don't really want to live, but it's what you can afford, I get that. I'm with you. But for just a little while, so that as you get back on top of your finances, that role can take. And then the second song that we're going to sing, and I forgot the name of it again. Your Love Awakens Me. We sang it before the message. Because as some of you, no doubt, are awakening in your finances, that God is knocking on your door and wanting to get your finances in order. Your love awakens me, and God awakens us, and we can do this together, for Living Hope is a place where no one does life alone. And we want to meet you where you are at so that you can meet God, so that you can grow in God, and so you can serve God together as a community. That's what we're all about, and we want to do that with you. So if you need to, you sign up for Financial Peace University and you get the tools in your toolbox so that you can stop the bleeding, you can learn about what you need to know, and you can start a plan and get out of the financial debt that you are in right now. Less is more. Financial stress is bad. Giving is good. And tomorrow is